Springfield's Talk 1041. My name is Nick Reed. I want to welcome you to the show on this Wednesday. Remind you that we do have our Friday Road Show coming up just a couple of days from now, on Friday, in fact, hence the name. And that is Scramblers Republic and National, sponsored by Queen City Motors. So come by. Love to see you. We've got D. Wampler. He's going to be joining us as he is in studio this morning. In for Jason Rima, who is on vacation. Sarah Myers with the latest news update.
Well, good morning. The Carthage Police Department has issued an endangered person advisory. Thomas Earl Whitaker was last seen on July 6th, leaving his residence on a four-wheeler and heading into a field east of his home. Whitaker suffers from diabetes and is without medication. Whitaker is 67 years old, 6 feet tall, and 185 pounds. He has blonde hair and blue eyes. Anyone with information is asked to call the Carthage Police Department. We do have his photo up at KSGF.com. A man in Pulaski County will spend the next 30 years behind bars for a shooting that injured a neighbor and killing a kitten. Marcus Lavender was found guilty of first-degree assault, armed criminal action, endangering the welfare of a child, and unlawful use of a weapon. In June of 2019, deputies responded to a home and found a man with a gunshot wound after a dispute with Lavender over the killing of a kitten. And the police in Joplin have taken a man into custody they believe is connected to several burglaries. Authorities responded to the First Baptist Church on 41st Street and Connecticut for an alarm Sunday night. Just before police cleared the building, a man fled from the building on foot and was tracked down. Investigators believe the suspect was involved in around five other burglaries in a seven-day span.
I'm not a burglar. But I've just want to get that out there. I've never burgled. If I did, it'd be hamburgers.
Ooh.
Be the hamburglar. Anyway, I've not understood why, and it seems as if this happens quite often, what people are looking for when they break into a church.
I don't know.
Do they think because in their minds, like when I was a kid, they passed the communion plate around, and
maybe.
There's just a big bag of money that they pour all that into and leave it laying
They're
around.
Like, we're going to leave this in the back room.
Yeah, so I don't, and I'm sure they're looking for something, but that is one thing I've never, you rob a liquor store, okay, I know what you're looking for. You rob a gas station, you rob someone's home, you're looking for valuables, but a church, I'm not sure. In your experience, Dee, do you know?
Maybe they're going to steal some Bibles.
Well, maybe. Sell them, I suppose.
The Lord works in mysterious ways.
But that's one I just, maybe they wine, the communion wine, get into that. I don't know. I just don't have that sort of mind. How are you, Dee?
Fine, thank you. I have a couple of public service announcements. Ooh. Because I know you have a very astute listening audience.
This is accurate.
President Biden has passed a low-flow shower rule. And I don't know if you've had this on your newscast, but there is a limit as to how much water that you can have taking a shower, depending upon the shower head, just when you thought it was safe to go back into the bathroom. It's 2.5 gallons per minute, and that's the limit. It's a 1992 federal law, and Trump relaxed the law, and Biden now has reenacted it. So when you go in, if you take a shower, you could be in violation of federal law.
Can't even take a shower anymore without federal regulations.
I don't want to upset your listeners too much on that, but now you know that in 1992, I know that you think of this all the time, we have an Energy Act which polices how much water you can flush in a toilet. So the toilets all had to be changed, effective in 1992. And it's an EPA water type program. And if you can get a toilet that only flushes 1.28 gallons per flush, you may be eligible for a subsidy from either the state or the federal government. Okay. Are you following all this? I'm mm-hmm. trying to keep your listeners advised. Now, the Food and Drug Administration has not yet, under the Cosmetic Act, has not yet regulated toilet paper. But I would say that toilet paper, 25% of it is produced in China. Mm-hmm. So if you're a good American, you will buy Procter & Gamble or Georgia-Pacific toilet paper.
What does, what's the brand I get? Is it Charmin? Who owns Charmin? I think that's what I get.
Don't squeeze the Charmin?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Is that the one with the bears in the commercial? I think it's Charmin. I get the, I get the best toilet paper. I don't mess around with toilet paper.
Was it?
I go cheap.
Who was it that
stuff.
Said women are only to use one square? Was that Madonna or Jane Fonda? I was trying to think who it was.
I don't know.
But at any rate,
do you remember when, for a period of time, this was before Sarah's time?
Yeah.
Sarah, for a while, the thing was colored toilet paper. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Pastels?
What happened to that?
I don't know. Did you know that, Sarah? You could buy toilet paper. They were pastel colors, like pastel green and yellow and pink.
Why?
I think some lawyer filed a lawsuit
probably,
and got a judgment against them.
Yep, probably turned somebody's butt blue.
If you you can flush 1.6 gallons of water per flush. Now, that's lawful. And anything more than that, you're in violation of federal law. So be careful when you go into the bathroom. You've got toilet paper possibilities here. You've got flushing. You've got shower head rules. You need to stay on the top on these things.
Well, I remember.
No puns today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's too bad. I had an aunt that used to buy that pastel colored toilet paper. There was also a period of time where the what do you call the device that the toilet paper goes on to roll?
You know,
what is that called? The roller? Do you remember when the thing was, the rollers, they were hollowed out and there were slits in it and there were scented beads in them so that every time you pulled the toilet paper, it would tumble those beads and release a scent? That was a thing for a while too.
I thought you were going to say it might play a song.
No, but that's not a bad idea. Now, so we're talking about this.
The federal government is involved in your life.
Well, incidentally, you can fiddle with your shower heads and remove the device that restricts the water. Most of them, you can do that. I know how to do that. So I'm clearly a felon.
Is that like fiddling with your seatbelt so that it doesn't ding?
Yeah. Or,
that's against the law to do that.
Well, sure, it is. Because we live in a free country. But do you know, this is a huge pet peeve of mine. And it is, to me, when people design bathrooms, they don't take into consideration the ease of grabbing toilet paper when it comes to placing where the toilet paper is going to be. Sometimes the toilet paper holder will be in the most awkward place in the wall. Like, you have to reach to your side or it's, and I know I have longer arms, but 4 out of 5 times when I go to, whether it's, you know, at a house or a public place, a restroom, I'm like, this is the worst placed toilet paper dispenser I've ever seen in my life. You got to like twist your arm down and backwards to pull it out, or I have to lean to the left in order to pull. It's a pet peeve of mine. I don't know why there's not more thought that goes into that.
I hope to get the application for a federal or state subsidy if you're flush is only 1.28 gallons.
Yeah, I need to look into
that. If I can get that form, would you post that so that your listeners, somebody can take advantage of it?
Absolutely. And then you could just flush it over and over and over again and still get the subsidy. Dee Wampler with us this morning, Springfield's Talk 104.1. A traffic update, I'm Nick Reed. One of my favorite Lady Gaga songs. Dee Wampler with us. Sheryl Crow is the one who said this, thanks to our listeners texting in on the Queen City Motors Talk and Text Line. The person who said only to use that ladies should use one square of toilet paper, that was Sheryl Crow.
You see, our listeners are so astute.
They absolutely are.
I'm sorry to Madonna and Jane Fonda. Jane can go back to North Korea or North Vietnam.
Vietnam, yeah.
North Vietnam.
Just a couple others. Sound equipment is what people said oftentimes, or people who have had their churches broken into. It was sound equipment. Often. Yeah, that makes sense. You have,
those things can be pricey.
Yeah. Maybe they have a rock band. Maybe they're playing Christian music and they want the sound equipment to take somewhere else.
I'm sure that is exactly what it is. And someone also suggested I would be the pizza burglar, not the hamburglar.
that's
fair.
That's accurate. Now,
pizza and general chicken, those are my two favorite.
Yeah, the NFL.
You'd be breaking into Wendy's.
I'd be breaking into Wendy's. To get a hat, I asked them one day, I went through, I love their hats that they have, their ball caps, they're fitted. And I said, I go through and I said, can I buy, do you sell those hats? And she said, what hats? I said, the ones you're wearing. She goes, I don't think so. I actually consider getting a job there just to get one because I love Wendy's. But then I thought it'd be wrong to do that. Sorry, okay, go ahead.
The NFL is going to have the Star Spangled Banner, so the national anthem, and the Black National Anthem will be performed
More segregation.
At all pregame ceremonies from now on. So the question is, in an effort to educate your listeners, like Mark Levin, the great one, starts with the national anthem every day. What about if you started this program with Lift Every Voice and Sing, the national anthem, the Black national? Perhaps we could get, maybe there's a recording where Colin Kaepernick might have led.
Yeah. Well, nothing says unifying people like having a segregated song for people based on race. Maybe they can, I don't know, just, I'm sure the left has never tried this before, have separate water fountains for them as well, and separate bathrooms and separate seating areas. I mean,
the more things
bring back some of their oldies,
the more things stay the same.
I know. The same people ideologically that supported segregation generations ago are pushing it again today. And just like then, they think that they're right in doing so.
Okay.
But you're not. You're wrong.
If I haven't made the listeners mad so far.
How
about this one? Listen to this one. Pete Buttigieg.
Oh, yeah.
You know where I'm going with this.
I don't know.
Is ahead of the Department of Transportation.
Yes.
I don't know what his qualifications were, but that's okay.
Don't you remember when it was announced he said he used to ride the train a lot? That's what he said. He said he rode the train.
Well, here's what he has said. He said that our highway system is racist and that we have a racist history in the American highway system. Black and brown neighborhoods have been disproportionately divided by highway projects and left isolated by a lack of adequate transit and transportation resources. And he says, quote, there is racism physically built into some of our highways.
Yeah, it's perfectly reasonable, sane position to take.
So we are turning, what we're doing here is looking at an environmentalist agenda. We're trying to build better roads and highways and turning it into a moral crusade, if you will, making a moral thing out of it. But what really bothers me, and, you know, I try to obey the law. When I travel down 65 Highway and other highways, I wonder, is this a racist highway?
Well, it depends. Is it blacktop?
They're
going to have to change that.
I'm telling you, right? Nick Reed comes up with more things. You know, last week we were talking about gypsy moths.
Yes.
You can't say that anymore. Well, a couple of people told me, what about black widow spiders? Mm-hmm. That's not politically correct. And what about stink bugs? No, I mean, you know, this is the society.
Well, there are people that actually have medical conditions in which they stink. That's true. Sarah, were you telling me that they had declared a couple of new ones since last week as being racist?
There was a couple of bugs, but I can't remember what they were.
I don't know.
Japanese beetle.
Oh, so they
I think that was one. Okay. And then there was a fish. Oh, shoot.
Oh, it was the Asian carp.
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. Because that clearly is part of the reason that there's an increase in hate crimes against Asians.
So there's a semi-government agency that is looking at all the insects to decide whether they are hurtful and divisive by the names.
Well, this is a huge issue.
And, you know, I worry about these things.
As you should. It's because, you know, you're open-minded.
I don't want people charged with these unnecessary crimes and offenses. And
it's a bad deal.
Anyway, okay. So we've got a new law now, finally prohibiting chokeholds. However, you'll remember all the mayors, Springfield, Columbia, Jeff City, St. Louis, Kent, they all met, you know, with the governor. You remember all that was going on during the George Floyd thing? And
it seemed to.
We were scurrying around trying to determine, well, it ended up we've got really one law that says that police cannot use chokeholds anymore, except, comma, you got to look at the fine print. Unless it's in self-defense. Now, isn't that precious? So they're saying you can't do it unless you need to do it. And unless, you know, the police officer is in serious danger. Well, so that's was a judgment call.
Was it recreational before? Is that the way that it was?
I don't know.
Before you were just allowed to do it if you were bored?
I just hope this makes everyone feel safer.
It does mean.
There is the
I won't ever be in a chokehold.
Because you're going to be a good boy.
I won't fight with police.
When a police officer says, show me your hands or get in the patrol car or I want to see your insurance papers, you say, yes, sir.
Yeah, and if they're in the wrong, I'll argue that in court.
There you go. You've read my book.
Well,
Don't be a constitutional lawyer on the side of the highway.
I was raised with common sense.
Well, at any rate, we now have a chokehold law, and I really am not aware of that big a problem with the chokeholds, but in the George Floyd case, that was a definite.
That was an example.
That was bad.
We got Dean Wampler with us. We're going to take a break. We'll also get traffic update, look at the First Alert forecast, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service, and more with Dee Wampler on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, all of your real estate needs. Questions as well. Are you thinking to buy a home that's your forever home? Or maybe you are thinking, it used to be huge, flipping homes, going to flip a home. And you think, well, the market is pretty hot right now. Maybe I can go buy one of those homes that needs some fixing up and take advantage of that. I don't know the answer to these questions, whether it's the right time to do it or not. But Emily Johnson is a tremendous resource for you in that area. And if you're just needing to sell your home and buy a new one at the same time for some reason, she can help you with all of this. You can read reviews about her on her Facebook page. Contact those who have experienced the incredible relationship that they've had in that context with Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate and learn whether she's the right one for you. I can tell you she is, and I'm sure many others would, and they do, through their reviews as well on her Facebook page, Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. You can also find all her contact info under Nick's endorsements at ksgf.com. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Dee Wampler.
The legal term of hostile work environment is a very interesting one. Governor Cuomo, as you know, is now being investigated by the Attorney General in New York State. And Cuomo, they have seized, he's in trouble because they've got his cell phones. You want to be careful what you put on your cell phones, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, they put it in a little device and print everything out that you've ever said or done. And they've got his computer. And he apparently, and I don't think anything will come of this investigation because we have Democrats investigating a Democrat.
Yeah, I think, in fact, that's his legal defense is I'm a Democrat.
I think so. Yeah. So they've got these things that he said and harassment complaints by numerous women. And it's an abusive workplace culture that is the investigation at this point that would make a lady feel uncomfortable. So this is kind of broad, may I say, in the definition. I mean, what does this mean?
Yeah.
So what I ask your listeners is, how far can you go? Like, can you say you have pretty blue eyes, or your blue dress picks up the color in your eyes? That's okay. Or you say you have a lovely necklace? That's okay. But what if you say you have a nice figure? Now, does that make a hostile work environment?
It depends on whether or not the guy who says it is good looking. If he's really attractive, then I think it's okay.
What
but,
about
but if he looks like, you know, if he's sort of a 5 out of 10, a little creepy, then it's not okay.
What about,
I think that's how it works.
What about you look sexy today? Mm-hmm. Now,
again, same rule applies.
Like, well, or you have great legs. That, I mean, that's over the top, don't you think? I mean, anybody can be sued today. This is it's hostile work environment law, and there are attorneys that are actually advertising here locally that take these cases. And I guess if you say it one time, that's probably okay, but if you say it repeatedly, and if there's corroboration that you say it in the presence of other employees or you put it on a...
See, I think that the hostile work environment laws regarding sexual harassment actually themselves create a hostile work environment. Because imagine, if you're some gal who has a dog face, and you see all these things and you realize that no one has ever sexually harassed you, that can be very hurtful. That can create a hostile work environment as you see
that
other
they
people.
They feel left out?
They feel left out. They're like, wait a minute, what's the deal? I've worked here 40 years and not once has anyone, you know, said anything that would come close to a compliment on my physical appearance. That can be very triggering. So I think the laws themselves are creating a hostile work environment.
Well, he's getting ready to testify, so he'll be given sworn testimony. Yeah. And probably at this point, if they've got the corroboration from his phones, he probably better own up to it and say, yeah, I did it. And I didn't really mean anything by it. If I hurt somebody's feeling, I'm sorry. But he's pretty well got to admit to these things that are on his phone.
Well, there's a couple of strategies that he can use. One, he can claim that essentially they had it coming. In certain circumstances they reciprocated. You know. These sorts of conversations. And so he wasn't doing anything that was non-consensual, that he was the recipient of this sort of thing. So, you know, if
they
he's guilty of it, yeah.
You mean they were tempting him?
Or, you know, take the position, if I'm guilty of it, then they're guilty of it as well. So he could take that position. He could also play the toxic male card, you know, I'm a victim of toxic male culture. I apologize. It's the left, they do this oftentimes. They'll, when they get caught in some sort of situation where they are behaving inappropriately, particularly if it comes to race, they will say, well, I apologize, but I'm the victim of white privilege. I realize now that I have benefited from white privilege, and this is a great learning experience for me. So he could play that card as well. I suspect it'll be one of those two. Or maybe he'll just be like, hey, look at her. What would you say? You know, he may go that route also. We're like, well, yeah, now, but 10 years ago, you know, if you saw her then, you'd understand why I sent those text messages.
Well, I think that a man can get away with things the older that he is.
I think you're right.
I mean, I'm so old, if I say something to somebody.
Mm. Yeah, he's harmless.
Yeah, I'm old enough to be your grandfather.
Right. What? That's a book you ought to write right there. You ought to test this.
Another book?
Yeah, you ought to write a book. You test this and have different guys of different levels of attractiveness, levels of wealth that would be known to the recipient of the advances, and age. You could have all these different categories and have them approach women and say, you know, they all have the same approach, and see if women treat the men differently or treat the advance differently based on wealth, based on attractiveness, based on age. I think that would be an
interesting
study.
This is getting pretty deep.
Well, it is.
It's pretty deep. Mm-hmm. Well, I just think it's interesting. I'm really watching, from the legal standpoint, the litigation in New York, and we all can learn from these things. I mean, and it's changed, has it not, in my lifetime, about what you can say? I mean, the culture has changed.
Well, what I've learned is if you're a Democrat, you're probably going to be okay.
You'll get away with it.
You'll get away with it. That and wearing blackface, using the N-word, all
yeah,
of the
see,
things.
Yeah, see, all that's that, yeah, changed.
If you're a Democrat, you are cool, man. You can do all that you want. Mm. Just don't do it if you are not a Democrat. More with D. Wampler here on Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. We got D. Wampler with us this morning.
James Brown, after 15 years. I feel good.
Well, yeah.
His estate has been settled, and the lawyers have all got their money out of the estate. For 15 years, they've been litigating it, and he had between $5 million and $100 million. You can see why they're all interested mm-hmm. in how deep his pocket was. And it's now been settled, and he recorded 900 songs. That's amazing. Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. Remember that one?
Oh, sure.
Well, anyway, yeah, he left a great will, leaving money to the underprivileged children.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been litigating this, I guess, the family, because he had some romantic partners that were involved.
That is a very kind way to put it.
I remember him in the Blues Brothers, where he was the minister. And he was getting everybody steamed up and singing mm-hmm. and dancing around. And then the Blues Brothers got into it. You know, I mean, they were dancing right. and everybody was going crazy.
Well, I imagine, aside from his will, there's got to be what, like an estate? Because anytime royalties or songs are played, there's still money that flows.
Yeah.
So I would imagine that was part of the judgment. Who gets that? That's what I'd want.
Yeah. So Ray Charles, Jimi Hendrix, all these guys, Prince. I mean, their estates just go on and on because they have family members or significant others, and everybody, you know, once the dollar signs are apparent.
I think Casey Kasem's family is still fighting with that. That was a real brutal one.
And who's the guy on Bandstand?
Dick Clark?
Dick Clark?
Mm-hmm.
I think
was there
some things were going on there.
It just seems as if... Because I know many of these people, they think in their minds, oh, okay, I have all this laid out, and then it seems like it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you look at it and go, if you've got that much money, what's the point even having a will? Because they're gonna get attorneys involved. They're gonna claim that, well, when they wrote that will, they weren't in their right mind. The family, you know, the guy who married Anna Nicole Smith, for example, that really, really older guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he
was over the hill.
Right, way over, and then down the other side. Well, he married her, and then he died, and of course he left her all this. Well, the family suits, and well, he didn't know what he was doing, and so it, you know, I don't know. It just seems as if the more money, the less it even matters whether all of that stuff is taken care of, because you're going to get attorneys that say, oh, I bet we can undo it, because they're going to, you know, benefit from it financially. What a mess.
Mm-hmm.
This is why, you know, I'm glad I don't have any real rich family members.
They charged him with
a
crime. Did you know they charged that old guy? He was like 90.
Who? Oh.
They charged him with assault with a dead weapon. Okay, never mind. Forget I said that. Okay, yeah. There's two other things. Can I say two other things before you cut me off? Okay, number one is the rainbow flag is flying at U.S. embassies around the world. Did you know that?
No, I did. Yeah, I read that.
Okay. And then number two, well, if you have AIDS, HIV, mm-hmm. AIDS, there is a more than a 30% chance that you'll get COVID. And it will be very serious because your immune system is down.
Sure, yeah.
So the figures have just come out on that if you're in that situation,
interesting,
you know, stand a greater risk to not only get the disease but die. So I think that's important.
I've always – it's interesting you bring that up, and I've talked about the difference in how we and our government reacted regarding AIDS versus COVID. And AIDS was something that came about, and in the beginning, it wasn't really known how it was spread, which to a degree, COVID was the same way. There was no cure. But the one thing that we did know, which was different than COVID, is that it was a total death sentence at the time. Now, people's lives, you know, extended greatly at this point. But at that period of time, if you got it, you died. And it was a horrible, awful,
painful
death. But we didn't shut everything down. We didn't. It was just so weird how you look at COVID, where you had a 98.8% survival rate. We shut down the entire country, the entire world, put people out of business. We're putting masks on now two-year-olds, even though, you know, other than a few hot spots, things have gotten so much better. But when it came to AIDS, something that if you got it, you would die 100%. None of that stuff was done.
No.
I know there were other differences. I'm not trying to say they were the same, but just the reaction and how people went along their daily lives without altering them whenever you were dealing with AIDS and the unknown component to that, versus how we just totally freaked out and flipped out over COVID. It's just an interesting difference in how, as a people, we react over, you know, that period of time versus this period of time.
There was a book, And the Band Played On.
Yes,
Randy,
it was made
Stiltz.
Into a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a real thick book and fabulous, but I don't know why I remember Guillotin Dugas was patient zero. So this guy was a real handsome steward that worked for an airline, and he flew cross-country routes like San Francisco, Miami, New York, and they would track all of his affairs where he would get. As soon as he'd get to a hotel, he'd start looking to see, you know, who's available in that. And he'd have a layover for 2 or 3 days, and he infected everybody, and lots of people, and they traced it all back at that time. This is during Reagan's early years. Mm-hmm. A fabulous book. Now,
well, and you know what? And you correct me if I'm wrong, but what I remembered about the book, and it was forever ago I read it, was that in the beginning, they, as you mentioned, they were tracing the places that people had been, and they found a lot of them. They were locations that were frequented by the homosexual population and bathhouses and so forth. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of discussion, and there may have even been an attempt to shut those down. And
yeah, there was.
And there was a huge pushback amongst many within the gay community saying, you know, you can't, they just didn't want that. And the reason I remember that is because today, when people oftentimes discuss the reaction to the AIDS epidemic, those first years of it, mm-hmm. there's this blame laid on Reagan, like he didn't do anything. And I just always remember that part of the book, if my memory served me correctly, unless it was another book, where there were attempts, you know, to start to do something, but there was huge pushback by the community that was being affected mostly by it. And I don't know. It seems to be a bit of a rewriting of history there.
Yeah. One final thing before I go. There's a new disease now, as if we're not worrying about the Delta thing anymore, is monkey pox.
Oh.
So I want you to think on your vacation next week about people that are coming here from certain foreign countries, mainly Nigeria, that have come here and are spreading the disease here. And it hasn't spread so much here as it has in certain other countries. It's called monkey pox. And needless to say, it's from monkeys.
What, but, does it kill you? Or?
Well, it don't do you any good, that's for sure. It's muscle aches and back aches and chills, headaches, fever, and exhaustion.
Does it and make so, you crave if, bananas and want to throw your own feces at others?
If you have any of these signs or symptoms, call this radio station immediately.
Yeah, if you feel compelled to take a crap and throw it at someone, you may have monkeypox.
Now, be careful what you do in the bathroom, because that's government regulated now. If I'm still going to be on the air in a couple of weeks, I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Right? Yeah, I'll be on vacation next week. So, right. Well, D-Womp, we're always, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Texas Democrats are no longer going to release daily coronavirus case count as their numbers rise. Somebody from Pelosi's office has revealed after meeting with the Texas Democrats, they have tested positive for COVID. Somebody from the White House also. Kamala Harris's office initially said she wasn't going to be tested. Then they came out and said she tested negative. The White House did. So some inconsistent messaging there. Listen. I think we are all aware of the fact that getting the vaccine does not mean that you will not get COVID. It does appear that those who are vaccinated and then subsequently get COVID do not suffer to the degree that they otherwise would. But for a political party and a media that has created this narrative that the only reason COVID is still being spread around is because of right-wing misinformation and Donald Trump supporters, and then you have this happen. You have the people that are always doing the lecturing and the finger-wagging that arrogantly violate all of the rules, say, well, it's different for us because we're vaccinated and are responsible for super-spreading it everywhere. It just doesn't get any more perfect than that. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.